It's a bad time to be going to Indianapolis. Mitch is on his way out there, and it could be fisticuffs at the Caitlin Clark game.
And is there a chance being a bandwagon fan has a nice little payoff after all?
It's the Emerging Podcast Scene, presented by Extend Technologies on 92.3 The Fan Extra on the free Odyssey app.
Her husband.
The first 4 hours were simply an amuse-bouche.
I'm stuffed. I can't remember the last time I ate this much.
Sure you don't want no dessert?
Not for me.
I'm good.
Your table is now ready for Carmen and Lima's Emerging Podcast Scene.
And we're brought to you by Extend Technologies, XTENDAV.com. Hello, Tone.
Well, here we go.
Let's start off with something very special. Yes. Let's start off with Mitch cussing at me in the hallway.
In
Mitch, well done. Don't say it, Jess. Say you did it on purpose.
But I wasn't trying
mean
to
it when
it
you
mean,
say it, man.
I wasn't trying to be mean. I was saying, like, hey, we just got to get you back in the studio here because we were coming back from break.
It's okay. You're allowed to cuss at me. Cuss at me. Let me have it. It's okay. You're a grown man. I like that stuff. I like it. You're a grown man. Owen and I, look, how many times do Owen and I cuss each other out?
Often.
And by the way, not nearly as much as we used to. Right?
I can believe that. You guys have gotten better.
Not nearly as much as we used
to. But I miss that. I enjoy when you guys should have seen that.
But no, back in the old days,
yeah.
In the old days, me and Owen, we used to get very petty arguments. But then it ended. And every now and then we get tight with each other, but it's okay.
Sure.
It's fine. That's the nature. It's weird when you're in this and you are supposed to be emotional. So you get emotional with other people. So I do not care if Mitch cusses at me in the hall. Now, I tell you what, if somebody from another show said what Mitch said to me, I might be a little bit upset. But Mitch, nah, man, it's fair game. Owen didn't want us to talk about this, and I kind of wanted to bring this up. I had this thought. I watched sports. Cavs lost game 2. I was getting ready to go upstairs. And I thought, man, there's not a lot of people, if you don't follow sports, there's not a lot of things in your life that you get this upset with this often. It doesn't happen. Like, my wife does not get mad over the Cavs, Browns, Gardos. She doesn't get mad. She doesn't care about sports. I have stayed up over, now this is my life, I understand this, but I have stayed up overnight, restless, not able to sleep, over a Cavs loss to the Indiana Pacers. Think about that. Truly think about that for a moment. That, to me, some people might say that's silly. I think it's a beautiful thing. As angry as I am that the Cavs lost, something in your life gives you so much passion. See, this is why I was confused that he didn't want us to discuss it. And I know his reasons he's not here to say. But something that gives you so much passion that you're going to be kept awake over it. I think it's a wonderful thing to feel those emotions as a human. We only have so much time. It's awesome.
Well, so there's a formula for any of your hobbies, and it's, am I getting out of this, you know, in a good way more than a bad way? Am I getting something out of this?
And I still say we are.
So we expend a lot of energy. Me and you, we do this for a living.
Yes.
So maybe, I think this is what Owen was getting at, is you're the wrong guys to do this conversation. Because you guys actually get paid to do this, which is silly. I mean, the whole enterprise is pretty silly when you really think about it.
But we're not paid to talk about... See, this is the difference. Anybody talks about sports. You're paid to entertain to talk about sports.
Well, right. I try to make that clear with people, but it just comes off condescending. So I always wonder, especially the Browns, okay? Guardians make the playoffs a ton. Have had... incredible. See, there's 162 games. You're feeling good when you leave that ballpark how many times a year? And you're feeling good at home how many times a year? A ton. Mm-hmm. It's a game. You either win or you lose it. Obviously, the stakes aren't as high as an NFL season where there's only 17 games, at least for now. But when you lose one of those games, it's the biggest deal in the world. When you win one of those games, it's the biggest deal in the world. Basketball to a lesser extent than baseball. But even in a basketball game that you win, I would make the argument, because there's so much scoring, that I feel so much joy even in a game my team loses in a regular season. If I see a cool dunk, if I see great ball handling, if I see a great series of plays, right? That can be really entertaining. I'm getting a lot of good feelings. But in football, when you're rooting for the Cleveland Browns in football, how much good, what has been the good that you have derived from being a Browns fan over the last 30 years?
I have had these
moments. And I think that's why they've lost some fans.
Well, I'm a sick individual because I am not a dick. I can appreciate. Appreciate's a bad word. It sounds like I'm saying other people don't know what they're doing. I appreciate the wins. And I feel like I'm in on the ground floor or something. And I know it's been 25 years, but I feel I'm in on the ground floor or something. That someday the code is gonna be cracked and they're gonna be good. You just need a quarterback. It's not some code that needs to be figured out. We're not, finding the Zodiac here. But someday they're going to be good, and I will feel as if I was on the ground floor of that. That's why it's hard for me. It's impossible for me to walk away from a team. It's impossible.
Over losing. Can I stop you? What's amazing is, and I wonder if there have been any kind of psychological testing over this, but there is an argument, and people that just jump on bandwagons, they do it because they jump on teams that they know are going to win. And me and you go, well, how can you experience any joy out of that? You weren't there on the ground.
I don't feel you get the same amount of dopamine.
But they must get something because they do it. And they buy the jerseys. And they buy the tickets.
And I don't understand
it. When LeBron came to Cleveland,
it wasn't
all just Clevelanders, diehard Cavs fans that started buying tickets.
And I don't understand it because to me, it's just not the same amount of dopamine. And there's also a fear of missing out because I think a lot of people, maybe not admit this, a little bit of a reason. Maybe not the whole reason. They hold on to the Browns or, the Guardians, they've been a successful franchise. So this is not meant what I truly think, but I think a lot of people are like, well, you haven't won in 78 years, so when are you ever going to do it? But there's the thought of, if I get out of being a fan, then they're going to win it and I won't be able to enjoy it the way that others are. And I think that, personally, I think that way about the teams. So, like, the Cavs won it. And I felt like, man, I remember the Andre Miller years, and now I get to enjoy this thoroughly because I was there. And maybe someday they're going to break through again. The Guardians, the baseball has to do some work with their salary cap, but my God, that turns into a different conversation. And the Browns, someday during my lifetime, they're going to break through, and it would be fantastic.
But if you found out, this is what I want to know, and this is why I'm guessing the studies haven't really been done. I would love to know if a bandwagon fan actually does feel just as good, and it's just easier. And are we doing it wrong? Should we just jump on bandwagon to bandwagon? I know me and you would never do that.
No.
But if those Duke / Yankees / Lakers fans / Cowboys fans, if they just do that and they jump on whatever's hot, weird, New England, I don't think New England really had a bandwagon. I don't think San Antonio Spurs really had a bandwagon. I really don't think they did.
Yeah, you're right. I don't think New England did.
But there are teams that 100% had a bandwagon that you could easily jump on.
I feel as if, I do feel this way. If you're a bandwagon jumper, I feel I can't trust you as a person.
I'm with you there. I'm totally with you.
I'm sorry.
Is that instant gratification... what they're looking for.
Yeah.
And if they're doing that in every facet of their life,
if they're doing that,
then you're right,
easiest,
they're untrustworthy.
If they're doing that in the easiest facet of their life, this is supposed to be when we rip away the emotional ties and the traditions and the family moments we have with each other, this is really based on entertainment and money making. And it seems to be the easiest thing you could jump in and jump out of being a fan of. And if that is the case, then how are you going to react in real life situations with somebody you've made yourself vulnerable to, a spouse, a girlfriend, boyfriend, whatever it is? I can't believe in that. I cannot subscribe to that. If I had a daughter and I heard a BS story, now I'm in too deep. This is my world. This is my life. In the words of Richie Aprile, I wasn't born in this life yesterday. If I had a daughter and she brought a boy home and I heard a story like that, I would have severe reservations. Severe reservations. I would feel he would leave her at the drop of a hat. I might actually feel better because I know that this isn't going to last long. I'd feel sick to my stomach if she was going to get married to the guy. I can understand in certain aspects. I've known some people I've known some people who have moved to Cleveland from Pittsburgh and worked for one of the three teams in town. And, okay, you know what? Everybody's happier when the Browns win, and I work for the Browns. So, I'm like, they become a Browns fan. They become part of the organization. I can understand that. But there's very few exceptions I'm willing to make. I'm serious about this. I think Mitch might be rolling his eyes at me. Lima feels the same way. I have severe reservations of people who jump.
There's also a subculture that exists. And think about this. You've been rewarded. If you've been the guy at work or at school and all you've ever done is tell people the Browns are going to lose, the Browns are terrible, and they're a joke, and they're a dysfunctional franchise and ownership and this and that. If you've been living in that world, what an easy life you've had.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you just say that every day. You're probably going to be right. You have been right in the past. The Browns take Shador Samuels, Dylan Gabriel, third and fifth round. Guess what? Odds are probably not going to be good. That's how the NFL works. It's harder for those rounds for guys to actually hit. And so those are the ones that I do wonder, because it seems like there are a lot of those out there, Kenny, of people that live right here in Cleveland, Ohio, that watch Red Zone, that have pretty much divorced themselves from the Browns, and now they just love seeing Browns fans, their neighbors, their friends, their family, they love seeing them be miserable, and they get to be proven right every day. And I think that is a growing faction of the fan base.
I agree with you. It makes me a little nervous.
Probably because I know some of those people.
It makes me a little bit nervous because I think now more than ever, we need people we can trust.
Yeah.
We
put
need
that
to be
on
able
a
to trust
campaign slogan. I like that.
We need to be able to trust each other. Mitch, what's your thoughts on this?
Well, I was going to say, I think the people who are relishing in the Browns' struggles are even are grosser than the supposed jumpers that you were just talking about earlier. For the Cleveland fans' sake.
What do you mean by that?
The whole thing about, you said, watching Red Zone and like taking in the other teams that are successful and then seeing the other Browns fans and just knowing that 9 times out of 10, they're going to be met with disappointment. That's a weird way to look at it. You have the right to think that way, but that's where I can't trust you as a person, because you're vindictive. Whereas with the jumping you talked about earlier, that's more open-mindedness than anything. And I know that people have ripped on me on the station for my takes over the years, and I've divorced myself from the particular fandom. But I don't know. That's more of where I stand.
What do you think of that?
I get it. It's in this region of the country. We are going to be fans of our teams. We are not a transient city. People don't come from all over the world to live here. In fact, people leave here. We get a drain of talent, of brain, of all these things. And, you know, that's why our fan base is our fan base, why Pittsburgh's fan base is their fan base. You know, these types of towns, that's just how it's going to be always. And it is what separates us. It's why, like, Colin Cowherd will get on and he'll mock Cleveland. But you know what he also will say every time? Cleveland's a great sports town. He'll say it every time. And guys that do that for a living, they know to pick at Cleveland because they know Cleveland will respond because we take it personally. This is a hobby that we take very seriously. So I've always found that interesting when you hear about the national media condescending, makes fun of you. I'm like, yeah, it's done for a purpose, because they do know you guys will get up in arms.
Well,
and they want that. They count on that.
When I go to this, I tell you what, I go to this to some level. I draw a line at making fun of the city personally. Yeah. I think that every city has its good thoughts and
you
its
should
bad
do
thoughts.
That. That's part of the fun.
No. I don't like to do it. I just think it's cheap. When have I ever said, and maybe I did it in a long ago time, I've never said Pittsburgh's a terrible city. I've never said it was a hellhole. Mm. At least not on this station.
Maybe I was
more immature. I've been to Pittsburgh many times.
I need Pony to show me around the right way.
I've been to Pittsburgh. I've been thrown in a cop car in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania once. Years and years and years ago. I've never said it was a terrible city. I know when I talk about Cincinnati, I call them weirdos. I know that they don't like us. And I think it bothers them where I've never really cared. I have more fun. Way more fun arguing with Pittsburgh people I do not care about Cincinnati. And I mean, I have on this contraption on my phone and on social media, I mean, I have been cussed up and down by Cincinnati Bengals fans. And I go, meh.
Why
I do
is
not
that?
Care.
Why isn't the Cincinnati thing a bigger deal? Because rivalries come and go in a lot of ways. Some of them heat up at times. You know, some of them go dormant from time to time.
It just doesn't feel the same. And I cannot put anger in a place that's not there. I can't force it.
Is it because we beat Cincinnati a bunch of times?
No. It's not even that. Like, if we got beat by Cincinnati a whole bunch, I think I'd still feel the same way. It's just this faraway place. Like, I don't hate Indiana after this week.
If the Reds were in the American
Mitch is going
League.
To Indianapolis, I'd go with him if I cared that much about going and I didn't have three kids.
I'm going to be honest with you. Going to Indianapolis this weekend what happened this week has put me in a foul mood to the point where I feel like I'm going to cuss out
really?
The first Pacers shirt I see.
Oh, I think that's a dangerous thing. Second of all, you're going to a women's basketball game.
How much did you pay for your ticket, Mitch?
I've not paid for my ticket directly yet.
But how much theoretically?
I have no idea. I'll text my friend.
Well, I know you're about to say something here, but I got to ask him this. I've never been to a WNBA game.
Neither have I.
I can't imagine a situation where it's jumping off at a WNBA game. Honestly, I've seen like people get in fights a little bit at baseball games. When do people get in fights at NBA games? I don't see a lot of fights at NBA games. Or, for that matter, WNBA games.
There are fake skirmishes that go down.
I'm sure there's a couple guys who cuss at each other.
Hold me back.
But it's not a weekly occurrence like it is in the NFL. Don't cuss strangers out in strange cities.
I'm not going to just like go up to one person and be like, hey, you know, whatever. But I'm not going to...
If you feel you're going to be that upset, do not wear Cleveland.
If someone says something... Yeah, I was going to say, we'll get to that tomorrow. If someone says something to me, then it's going to go down.
I feel as if, do you get in a lot of fights?
I mean, not a lot.
You're talking about confrontations.
Not
here.
A lot.
That's incredible to me. That is damn incredible to me. That you're gonna get an art. You're gonna get a confrontation with somebody at a women's basketball
game. Not at the game. Probably if it's like on the street or something. Going to the game.
Still anywhere around a women's basketball game. I imagine.
I can't get to a fight outside a men's basketball game.
Okay, fine. I've never been in a fight at a Cavs game. I've never even seen anything close to a fight at a Cavs game. Other than when I almost got thrown out for yelling at Trae Young, I didn't even cuss at him.
I've never been to a fight at a game either, but it's just one of these situations where, because of what happened this week, I got to reserve myself.
That's crazy. I don't feel that way towards Indiana. I don't. I never have. Lima, do you feel that way? Have you ever lost to an opponent and not felt?
For this week, I'll get over it eventually.
Have you felt anger or? So boy, this is just a terrible timing for you that this game is
it is,
up
yeah.
here. It's the only time in your life you might get after. Like, well, I gotta be honest with you. Do not wear any Cleveland stuff because someone might say something.
Of course not.
You don't even want to risk it.
No,
because you go out.
There was one.
Are you gonna wear a Cleveland T-shirt and go out to a club?
I don't think we're staying for the club. No.
Oh, he's not staying for the club.
Honestly, there was one time Browns home opener 1 year. There was a dude wearing Miami Hurricane stuff, right? And we'd won the national championship last day. So it was I know exactly when it was. It was right after the year after we won the national championship. And we've been drinking all day. And we had bought all these 500 level tickets. And I think it was Upper Dog Pound, actually.
Yeah.
We were hammered. It was 80 and sunny. One of those home openers we would lose every time back then in the 2000s.
Like it.
And this dude kept running his mouth, and somehow we established, like, we're Ohio State fans. We went to Ohio State, or we were going to Ohio State.
Nice.
And he's, like, talking about the national championship game and how it was stolen. And then, of course, we always had our retort. We'd go down the whole list of why it wasn't stolen. Here's why. And he just kept running his mouth, and he was with his girl, and she was cute. And one of my buddies made a comment about her, and that set him off. And next thing you know, we were in a brouhaha, Kenny. And I couldn't believe we didn't get detained. Like, I could not believe it. But it was a stupid thing. It was just over a sports argument. That's how it started.
Mm.
And there were absolutely fists thrown. There were more of us than them. That helped. Which I don't know why he was talking so much.
Again, I've seen it football style. It's incredible to me. I just don't wear Cleveland
Absolutely
stuff.
Not.
Absolutely. I wore a Cleveland shirt to a Pirates game, and a woman tried to start it with me, like with her and her husband.
I actually do have an old Indianapolis Colts hat in my closet that I could maybe wear and blend in.
I didn't say to wear their stuff.
It's not their stuff. It's not Pacers stuff. It's not Fever stuff.
What? Why do you have a cold Colts hat?
When I was a big fan of Peyton Manning and Andrew Luck.
Oh, my Jesus. Are you serious?
Yeah. This is from like
are you going to say something?
15 years ago.
Are you going to say, well, how old were you 15 years ago?
12.
Jeez. Well, I had an old Shaquille O'Neal magic jersey.
Which color?
Black.
The black one.
Yeah.
I like the blue one.
I like the black one.
Yeah, that was a good one too. Hey, people don't remember. The Magic were cool. The Magic were real cool back in the day.
What am I supposed to say to this
man? Awesome uniforms, awesome court. They went to the NBA finals.
All right, you were 12. It's fine. It's not like I just think of you as like it happened last week. Sorry. Yeah. Okay, that's fine. Why do you say we don't need a draft?
I'm asking if we need a draft because you could arrange things in a way that you have your salary cap. Notably, this is one in basketball. You have your salary cap, and then, you know, you could potentially just, depending on what type of team you want, you could create salary cap, and instead of having current really good NBA players, you can preserve cap space to go get a draft pick, and then you sign players out of college or high school or whatever it is, or Europe, depending on how you want to do it. So instead of a draft where, you know, you have your order determined by the lottery and everything, and then you pick your player, and it depends on who was bad the year before.
Yeah.
You instead have so much money allocated, and you get to decide as a team, do you want to draft players or do you want the good free agents in the NBA? Because as we know, in the NBA, I mean, it's not like the NFL. Guys that have had a six-year career in the NBA might still have another 10 years and might be unbelievably good,
but
still.
Aren't you, and I gotta make this, if you work at a place, like if you work at a fast food restaurant, you don't get checks from big fast food corporation. You get checks from the franchisee, don't mm-hmm. you? But your logo says them. So how does this, because they're all franchises. So, God, I don't know how to work. I don't know how to say this.
So what I'm saying is that.
That made zero sense.
What I'm saying is.
Yeah.
Every time I've ever brought this up, people say, oh, well, the Lakers are going to get every best player. I'm like, uh-huh. Well, no, they wouldn't. The Lakers wouldn't have enough money to go after the draft pick. So, like, the bad teams, Washington and Utah, let's say it's Cooper Flagg, right? Those teams would have realized they're a bad team. They don't have their money tied up. They can offer Cooper Flagg twice as much as the Lakers can. Do you need a draft?
Wouldn't you just be in a mess of bad salaries, though? Because doesn't every team think they're going to be bad? Or excuse me, doesn't every team think they're going to be good? So you're paying these players.
Mm-hmm. Well, you'd have a salary cap for the rookies,
too. Yeah, obviously. Yeah. Yes. But you're paying these players, and I'm saying, wouldn't you just be loaded up with a bunch of bad contracts? Because now it's like you got to flush the contracts.
It just depends on the years and everything, how much of a commitment
you
have.
Well, it's hard for me to wrap my head around this.
I know. It's so different. But, you know, people have wondered in the past, like, man, if you were a kid coming out of college,
yeah.
Why should you have to go to whatever team drafts you? Like, that's...
whole thing is you're kind of an employee of the NFL, yeah, not necessarily the Jacksonville Jaguars.
And we've had a league, and that's been established over time. But what if you took that off? What if you took all those restrictions off and you start... And again, this will never happen. But we're having fun talking at a bar here. Just two guys opening up a can of beer, having some sports talk.
Well, I don't know if they'd be talking about this because we're getting deep. Getting deep in here.
So let's say who are the really good teams now. So like Boston Celtics could not get Cooper Flagg. The Cavs could not get Cooper Flagg. Oklahoma City could not get Cooper Flagg. All the really good teams couldn't get him. I'd have to look at their cap situation.
Wouldn't New Orleans be wrapped up in money on
Zion
and... Not Brandon Ingram, but wouldn't they be?
Him. Right. So this is.
What the hell am I thinking of who's still in the Pelicans?
But this is what I'm saying. It depends on if Cooper Flagg was available. Maybe I'm not giving out all these contracts. Maybe I'm preserving that space for the rookie. So it'd be a completely new way of doing business. And then you have to determine as a team, what's your strategy? And this way, it could potentially disperse the talent all over the place and even up the talent in sports.
Mm-hmm.
Because right now, you know, these teams get off tilt to begin with, and then if they get an injury, they just tank. You know, that's famously how San Antonio got David Robinson. I mean, how they got Tim Duncan. So could you do something about this? Could there be a way to make sure? Right now, all the talent is in the West, which is good for the Cavs, by the way. We don't stress that enough, how amazing this is, that Giannis could get traded out West, that Tatum's down. I mean, could this be a reason not to touch your team at all? Because, you know, the East is going to be so easy next year, at least on paper, as we look at it today. So, I don't know. Just a thought.
If there was no draft, I just think like your fan base would hold you. Because when there is a draft and there's a lottery even, you've made your fan base, and you're right, none of this will happen. You've made your fan base okay with losing. That's a hard thing to do. I mean, it's almost like it's public stock.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to lose when it comes to the stock market. You've made them okay with losing. In fact, you've made that the goal, to not have a draft. Well, then why are we spending the money? Well, we spent the money on these players didn't end up being good. So now we don't have any of the money to spend, because I think you would be continuously in a spot where you'd be spending money on these players that, I don't know, if you're in a bad draft and you're the one who has the $40 million to spend on the player, okay, well, Markel Fultz, is he worth $40 million?
But sure, look at the system now. you would say in Charlotte and in Utah and in Washington, what have those fans gotten out of the current setup, the current lottery setup?
Not much.
They've gotten nothing.
Nothing.
And their teams are trying to lose. I mean, Utah has gotten fined for it. These teams are openly tanking. Philadelphia did it for, my God, 6 years, mm-hmm. 5 years mm-hmm. as part of that process. Got him Joel Embiid, who, when he's healthy, is one of the top, in my opinion, three players in the game. He's never healthy.
Yeah.
So, unfortunately, that doesn't work. Didn't work for them.
Well, it's the same thing I used to say about Josh Gordon, but for other reasons.
Yeah.
So,
the NFL, you know, we talked a little bit today about the system in the NFL, and there seems to be a disagreement about whether or not teams tank in the NFL. I saw that Brett Nolman, you know, had a tweet about it.
Thought it was Coleman.
Coleman.
I mean, yeah. Maybe I'm wrong.
No, maybe I'm wrong. So he had a tweet about it, and he was blasting the NBA because it's like, teams tank in the NBA. They don't in the NFL. And I'm like, man, I disagree. I think a lot of teams, by virtue of who they put in the games, are 100% trying to lose.
Well, they got
to
see what they have in them. I'm winking.
That's what, yeah.
You can't see my eye.
So it does make sense. They do want to see. They actually do. I mean, we put DTR in. A, probably because he was going to lose. B, what if he's good? What if actually the more he plays, he gets better? I mean, he was drafted by them. They obviously thought he had something. We saw differently once he went in there, but then it served a purpose.
Well,
they lost games.
Well, this is what, when I said the Browns weren't tanking and Adam wanted to fight me in the hallway, and I remember Ben went after me for Axelrod, and it was the 2016 season, and I think I was just misquoted in so many ways because I said the players themselves and the team is not tanking.
No.
And I can tell you guys, without a shadow of a doubt, Hugh Jackson was not trying to tank.
Agreed.
It was a bad situation. I don't think much of him as a coach, and we've been down that road many times, but they were not trying to tank. When I see tanks, Don Nelson has participated in not winning. As a head coach of a basketball team, has participated. Mark Cuban has that quote about Don Nelson. Like, when you have a coach who's complicit in it, then to me that's tanking. That wasn't a tank. Now, you didn't put good players on that football team, but I think that, you know, it's a situation where we're going to go youth and inexperience, and we are going to build for the future, and we're going to put these guys out there and see. They would have been fine had Seth DeValve or Corey Coleman or any one of these other guys during that era would end up being a great player. They would have been over the moon happy, but they weren't. I don't think they made bad draft picks on purpose to screw it up. They would have just traded the draft picks and traded out of the draft. They tried to find good players there that they felt were going to help for the future, and that's what made it such an indictment that they really didn't. I think Joel Bitonio came from that era. He might have came right before it. Yeah, because I think he was in the Terrence West draft. Might have came right before it. I mean, other guys did too. But I think it's a very convoluted, also to a general listener, I think it's a very convoluted way for me to try to explain away something that they feel is just an excuse. And they don't want to hear me carrying the water for a team that they believe tanked, that I'm trying to find silver linings and gray areas, loopholes in the tank, if you will. I'll admit that. But again, I was in the locker room and I knew the guys were not trying to lose. Trying to hold on to jobs, if anything. Now, there was a time where I thought that some of them did not realize the opportunity that they had, and I thought that a couple of them were downright idiots.
Right.
Because I'm thinking, man, there were guys on that team on both years that I almost like, I go, do you not understand what's going on here and how you need to take this more seriously? Like, walking down the hallways and stuff. Like, they are going to replace you as soon as they can, and you will never play in the NFL ever again. And sure as hell, that's the way it happened with a lot of those guys. Some of those guys were good guys, and they just didn't play in the NFL again because they weren't good enough. But some of those guys, like, I'm like, what is this? What is this attitude you have on you? You better knock it off right now. Like, you guys need to wake up and see what's going on here in this league. And I think Joe tried to impart that to some of them.
There's only so much you can do.
Joel tried to impart that to some of them, but there's only so much you can do. Stupid is stupid. And it happened that way with some of these guys. But what are you going to do?